2 Peter 3, verse 1, the second epistle, "Beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." So we have a remembering that needs to be about. That remembrance is from the Word, "that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets." The Word of God came by the prophets, the Old Testament Word, even that New Testament Word, the New Testament, if you will, is from the apostles and other men that the Lord used, and even in some of those cases it is prophetic. The words were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. So if it's contained in the Scripture, if it's the Word of God, it has application to us. And so as we go through, and especially the Old Testament, how it is the I don't like to use the word the story, because they are a story can be true or a story can be fiction, all right? But the account, if you will, I know that's being a little bit picky, but it is the account of a thing that happened. And so if Joab is mentioned there, and the account is about David, the account is about Israel, but there were those that were played in and out of that account, and Joab was one of these men, and there's something that we can learn from that. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11, "Now all these things happen unto them for example," speaking of the children of Israel, "and they are written for our admonition," mine and your admonition, "upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." Don't think that the thing that might come upon us, the thing that might come upon you, the thing that might come upon me is the greatest that it's ever been and may cause us a problem or that we would yield to it. "There's no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry." So the example and the account of those that are in the Scripture is for our admonition, our encouragement, our understanding of you and I may be faced with something, that we can go to the Scripture and find somebody that was faced with it and learn how they dealt with it. If they dealt with it correctly and in a right way and in a righteous way, then we can take that instruction. If they did not, then we can learn from that as not being the way to go. And then Jeremiah 35, the Lord speaks through the prophet Jeremiah in verse 13, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, go and tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will ye not receive instruction to hearken to my words?" The word is there. The word is, the Lord's word is settled and established forever. It's settled in heaven, right? And established forever. And will we hearken to it? God has said it. I mean, we've heard that said. God said, has said it. That settles it. And we need to hear it. We need to hearken to it and believe it. And he says, tell them, will ye receive instruction to hearken to my words, saith the Lord. And so we left off last time in 2 Samuel chapter 10. Let's just jump over there real quick. And we see here with Joab being pressed here as he's sent out by David to go against Ammon and the Syrians that they have hired to fight with them. And we see Joab here being in this strait, the Ammonites on one side, the 33,000 Syrians on the other side. And this the quote of Joab, "Be of good courage and let us play the men for our people," 2 Samuel 10, verse 12, "and for the cities of our God, and the Lord do what seemeth him good." And the Lord do that which seemeth him good. We see here Joab in a great strait, in a great challenge, and the potential of a great defeat. He went and took extra measures to set the men up between him and his brother, and they made an agreement. You know, if one's too hard for him, he would come and his brother would come with the men to help him, and vice versa. And being in this situation, having been with David yet by now probably a few years for sure, he and David being his nephew, right, as we saw, David being his uncle, he being the nephew of David, he did not pray. He said, be of good courage and let us play. And that word play means to be strategic, be strong, to buckle up, have some grit, have some courage and strengthen them. And let us play the men. Let us use these men, these valiant men that we have here in our fighting force. Let us play them for our people and for the cities of our God. Okay, that was the first thing that he wanted to do. And the Lord do what seemeth him good. And we read over in John how the Lord said, you've asked nothing in my name, but when I'm going from you, ask in my name. Ask specifically. The Father wants to hear from you. And he wants to you to ask in my name, in John chapter 16, verse 23, and in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. See, he's saying, I want you to experience in my departure, me leaving the Comforter with you, and he's speaking to the church. He says, I want you to experience the power of God. I want you to experience going to your Heavenly Father just as I do. When the Lord was a man, did he not pray much? He did. When he was here on this earth and came as a man, he prayed to his Heavenly Father and he spoke with his Heavenly Father. He communed with his Heavenly Father and he talked in detail about those things that he desired. And he wants his disciples to do so. He wants his disciples to do so. They've come to him and asked him that he teach them to pray. And we read about the model prayers, how the Lord shows that structure of those model prayers, not the prayers themselves, but to understand who you're praying to, understand the needs. And we took a look at those things last time that he prays, and the example is to pray in the particular. Joab has been there amongst his uncle David, and he does not have this, and I'm afraid what we're going to see as we continue on through Joab's life, that he's not a man that's bent to the Lord. He is in Israel. And he is a mighty man, but he's a man working his own plan and working his own way. He doesn't seem to be a man of God. And he's not taking the example of his king and his uncle David. And so what we want to look at tonight, from what I found in the Scripture, there's no other example of Joab praying. There's no other example of Joab being a man of God. We want to take a look at Joab's, the closest thing to a prayer here, because he didn't petition the Lord. He just said, the Lord do what seemeth him good. Let's look at David. Psalms chapter 4. I can't recall if we read this one last time or not, so we'll read it through here. And here, we just want to take a look at the way that David prays. David, a man after God's own heart, the Lord says of him, chosen by God to be the king of Israel, made by God to be a righteous man and a man that sought the Lord and desired the Lord. And here in Psalms chapter 4, let's take a look at the particularness of the way David prays. David has a relationship with the Lord where he would talk to the Lord about a thing going on in his life, a thing that he's dealing with in his life, just like you would with a friend. You would with your closest friend, or maybe even your spouse, where we talk about things, we discuss things, we pro and con things, where we're real honest about how we feel, where we're real honest about our fears, where we're real honest about the way that we like a thing to be and then the way that we see it. And that we know that there needs to be power exercise. It's going to have to be by the Lord. And we take that and we lay it out before him. Was it not Hezekiah that took the letters of the naysayers there in his day and the enemy and took the thing that they claimed that they would do, and he took the letter and he laid it out before the Lord there in the temple? And he says, Lord, look what they've said they're going to do. Oh, Father, we need you to work. God Almighty, we need you to work in this thing. Look at what they've said they're going to do. And what was the answer to his prayer? He took those armies and turned them and took them away, didn't he? The Lord did. Because the Lord wants to hear from us. Here in Psalms 4, let's see how David prays. Hear me when I call, O God, of my righteousness. I've got my righteousness from you, he says. Hear me when I call. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. You've done it before. You can do it again. Have mercy upon me. Lord, give me that. Do not give me what I deserve, but give me that which I do not deserve. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer, my petition to you. Hear it, Lord. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity, emptiness, and seek after leasing, falsehood? Selah. And he stops there and he thinks about that. That's when you see that word Selah, it means think about it. He's talking to the Lord as he would talk to a friend. And what I mean by that, not that he's just not reverent of the Lord. We should always be reverent to the Lord and being submissive and understanding who it is we're speaking to. But these and thous and Victorian language in English doesn't make our prayer more holy. And we've inherited that from the time that the Scripture was interpreted into the English language. It may be likely the Lord, in the new heaven and the new earth, we may not even speak English. I don't know. We may speak a heavenly language, you know, but thee and thou doesn't make God like it or not. We need not be loose in our attitude about who we're speaking to. We need to reverence Him in fear, and our Heavenly Father, our Savior. But He's honest with the Lord. How long, there in the middle of verse 2, will ye love vanity and seek after leasing, Selah? Verse 3, but know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. He's not bragging about himself. He just knows what the Lord's done with him. He knows what the Lord's priorities are. He knows that the Lord loves his children, that he wants them to be holy. He wants us to be godly. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. As it seems like that he thinks aloud, maybe even talking to himself, reminding himself that stand in awe of the Lord and don't sin before him. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. How did he start out this portion of Scripture? He said, hear my prayer. Hear my prayer. Offer sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? He brings this before the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Lord, show us some good. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than the time that their corn and their wine increased. And these references to things of the harvest, it's hard for me, someone that hasn't farmed, I don't understand how that is to put in a crop and then have to patiently wait for it, hope that it makes, and then be able to work to be able to bring it in. You know, the farmers are kind of challenged right now with this wet weather and being able to get the corn in. They've had to wait to get it in, and that may, you know, if it goes to molding, that can cost them. If it goes to rotting, that can cost them. If it starts laying down on the ground or the ear gets too dry and starts falling off, that can cost them. And if it was that we put in our crop and that was our eating, what we planted and what we took in, oh, you can sure see about it being a whole heap of nervous about the weather and things coming along and the wind and all that. Because so much of that crop being able to be suitable to be brought in and the conditions and circumstances being right for us to be able to bring it in so we got something to eat, it would get really, really, really important, wouldn't it? And that's the way that David considered it. He says, "You've put gladness in my heart, Lord, more than in the time that their corn and their wine has increased." When they brought in the harvest, they were happy. The harvest time's a good time. They're rejoicing because there's seed for the future and bread to eat in the meantime. And he said, "But Lord, you put more gladness than that in me because of you." David rejoices in the Lord. He rejoices in knowing the Lord. "I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety." If I'm going to be safe, if I'm going to be provided for, Lord, you'll have to do it. Boy, it's kind of quite a contrast, isn't it, between he and Job. Turn over here to Psalm 17. Take a look here. A prayer of David. "Hear the right, O Lord." Psalm 17, verse 1. "Hear the right, O Lord. Attend unto my cry. Give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips or faked lips." I'm not saying it just to be saying words, Father. I'm saying it because I mean it. I'm saying it because I need it. I'm being pure honest with you. Lord, hear it. Please hear the right. Hear the truth, O Lord. Attend to my cry. Give ear to my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. Let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. Lord, you know about righteousness. You know about equity. Lord, some of you all have heard me say in situations, things maybe that you face, things that we face as a church, you know, if the Lord, pray the Lord will bring the truth out. The truth out. Isn't that what David asked? Isn't that what David asked? Bring the truth out. Hear the right, O Lord. Pray, you never go wrong. I never will forget that first time, that guy in the jail. He said, the young guy, 18 years old. I mean, he wasn't just hardly out of high school. And he says, "Oh, my court date's Thursday. I need you to pray for me." I said, "Okay." I'm thinking, man, how do we pray for this guy? You know, I don't want to even ask him what he's done or what the problem is. You know, Lord, help me. Lord, help me know what to tell him. And he did. I believe that the Lord did. And he said, "Okay, we'll pray for the truth to come out." "Well, I don't really need the truth to come out." I said, "Well, that's what needs to come out. It's the truth." See, the truth won't hurt anyone. The truth will help us get well. The truth is what the Lord and what is important to the Lord, and we need to desire that. "Let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. Thou hast proved mine heart." Can we say that? A brother preached a message about the Lord trying the reins. David submit himself to that. "Lord, I present myself before you for you to prove me and try me and cleanse me and touch me. I want to be right with you." David was willing and asked of the Lord that he himself be exposed, that every unrighteousness, every wickedness be purged from his heart, from his soul, and from himself. David had a desire to think right. He had a desire to do right. He wanted the Lord to touch him. "Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shall find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress." Boy, that's wanting it right and straight, isn't it? He says, "I've purposed that my mouth is not going to say anything false, anything wicked, anything evil, anything in vanity against your name. I want to do right from the inside out." I mean, he's getting down to the nitty-gritty, isn't he? Getting right down there where it's at. Concerning the works of men, verse 4, by the word of thy lips I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. Lord, I want to do right. I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thine ear unto me, and hear my speech. David's asking for a lot, isn't he? We need to thank the Lord. Yes, we surely do. We need to be a thankful people always. But David is asking, Lord, work in me, work in this situation, work in this circumstance. Help me, Lord. Help me to rest in you. Give me that strength that I need. Hold up my goings in thy paths and my footstep, that my footsteps slip not. Verse 6, I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thine ear unto me and hear my speech. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee from those that rise up against them. Lord, you can deliver me. And Lord, I trust in you. Lord, deliver me. Deliver me. Verse 8, keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. And so, well, that's pretty big-headed of David to want to be special to the Lord. Wait a minute. A child wants to be special to their parent, doesn't he? Yeah. I'm not talking about a grown child. I'm talking about a little child. A child wants to be special to their parent. A child wants to be loved by their parent. A child wants to be the only one that their parent looks at and considers, right? And that's what David says. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings from the wicked that oppress me, from the deadly enemies who compass me about. Lord, protect me. Verse 10, they are enclosed in their own fat. With their mouth they speak proudly. David has looked upon them and now is telling what he sees in his enemy. And he's not talking to others about it or railing on them or that. But he says, Lord, look at them. Look at the way that they do. Look at the unrighteousness of their way. They are enclosed in their own fat. With their mouth they speak proudly. They have now compassed us. In our steps, they have set their eyes, bowing down to the earth. Like as a lion that is greedy of his prey, and as it were a young lion lurking in secret places. That's the way that my enemy is, Lord. They're looking to get me whenever they have a chance. They're looking for me to stumble whenever there's a time that it happens. And they're looking to move. Arise, O Lord, verse 13, disappoint him, cast him down, deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword, from men which are thy hand, O Lord, from men of the world, which have their portion in this life, and whose belly thou fillest with thy hid treasure. They are full of children and leave the rest of their substance unto their babes. He says they are prosperous. And I think what he's saying, their prosperity makes me fearful. Because it looks like they can take me. It looks like they can touch me. But Lord, please work on my behalf. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Lord, I just want to be close to you. Lord, I desire you. Lord, if I have you, I've got more than the prosperity of all those that are against me. All those have the prosperity of the world. If I have you, I am truly blessed. The Psalms and the prayer of David. In Psalms 55, verse 1, it says, "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication." Lord, hear me. Hear me, please. In Psalm 61, just take a look over there. Psalm 61, we'll just take a look at a few of these verses. Here when it starts, he says, "Hear my cry, O God," verse 1, Psalm 61, verse 1. "O God, attend to my prayer." Psalm 64, right across the page there. "Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from the fear of the enemy. Preserve me from being afraid of the enemy, Lord. Hear me. Hear me, I beg of you." And in Psalm 72, take a look at this. Oh, this really touched me when I saw this, and it just really is something else. Here, Psalm 72. David is praying for his son. His son that's going to reign in his stead. Solomon, he's appointed to be king after him. There's one of his sons that has risen up to try to take the kingship. We're going to see about that. And here in the study of Joab. And so the prophet comes to him, and the advisors come to David and said, "Who do you want to be king? Your other son has risen up. Don't you want Solomon to be king?" And so here David gets down and gets nitty-gritty for Solomon. "Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He shall judge thy people with righteousness, and thy poor with judgment. The mountains shall bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy, and shall break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as the showers that water the earth. In his days shall be the righteous, in his days shall the righteous flourish, in abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and the isles shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. He shall spare the poor and needy, and shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in his sight." He prays for his son to pursue these good things. Yes, he's dogmatic about it, because as he is there and he considers it, he wants it to be a righteous way. And it says there, shall. And we understand that David is not only king, but he is a prophet. And this prayer was answered in Solomon for many years, until he began to take all those own wives, till he began to pursue his own wisdom and his own way. And then came his decline. But for a while, the Lord answered David's prayer. And David, being not a respecter of persons, desired him to also remember the poor and that. Verse 15, "And he shall live, and to him shall be given the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised. There shall be an handful of corn in the earth upon the top of the mountains, and the fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon, and they of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun. And men shall be blessed in him, and all nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever. and let the whole earth be filled with His glory. Amen and amen. He prays for His Son. He praises the Lord. He desires righteousness and blessing for His Son and for the kingdom under His rule. And in verse number 20, the prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. He prays for his son. And then as you continue on through the Psalms, you'll find other Psalms of David. But there, at his desire for his son to be king and rule well, David prays specifically in detail for his son. He prays matter-of-factly, not from the standpoint of dragging God down to do what He wanted Him to do. We got that health and wealth and that prosperity gospel that's preached. That's not it. But to understand, as being children of the Lord, our Father bids us be there and ask, in particular. But there, as you saw in verse 20, one day you and I will be able, we won't be able to pray anymore. The time of service, the time of working, the time during the time of the daylight of our life, it'll come to an end one day. And we will not then be able to be a witness. We'll be on with the Lord. We'll not be able to lay up treasure in heaven anymore. We will not be able to pray to our Lord from here anymore. And so the point that we want to see and make with that is, well, we have the opportunity. Let us pray. Let us pray without ceasing, as it tells us in Thessalonians. Let us walk with the Lord continually, understanding that He is there all the time. Let us pray specifically to Him in our need and in our blessing and prosperity. Let us pray in particular for the salvation of the souls round about us. And let us take every problem to our Father, who certainly does care for us. He gave His Son for us, did He not? If you're here this afternoon, this evening, and you're not saved, go to the Lord. Ask Him for that which you desire. Ask Him to help you understand that which you do not understand. Ask Him to help you hear that which you have a hard time hearing. Ask Him to touch you and help you. You need the Lord. You need the touch of the Spirit of God. Ask Him for everything you fear. Tell Him all about what you fear. You get excited about things that you consider about and fearful. Bring it to Him. You have question and lack of understanding. Bring it to Him. And He'll answer. He will hear. He doesn't have a limited number of lines from AT&T and they all get filled up. The Lord hears from heaven. May the Lord help us to see this. Let's stand and have a song. If the Lord's led you in any way, anything that you need to tell the church, an opportunity for you to do so. We pray for those that are not saved, that the Lord will work in you and save you. And for we that are saved, let us walk with our Lord. Walk humbly.